Acts chapter 23:15. We're talking about the New Testament ministry. We'll focus on what we call tithing. This morning we just started and see how far we can go. Bible doctrine on tithing. Tithing is the verb. Okay. 7:23:15. Paul writing to Timothy, who was a son to him in the gospel. He says, and that from a child, that the Holy Scripture is able to make you wise in salvation, which is through faith in Christ. All Scripture, verse 16, given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now look at the word, verse 16. All Scripture there will refer to the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. So Paul is writing to it and says, Genesis to Malachi, it's for doctrine. Now, as a Bible student, don't be perplexed or don't be confused. By saying doctrine, what we refer to, didascaly in the Greek, that is explanation actually. It's not, this is what we believe in our church. That's our doctrine. That's what he's saying. By saying doctrine, he's talking about explanation, teaching. That word has its source for teachers, those who teach, those who are skillful in teaching, those who are skillful in explaining something. So Paul is telling Timothy that when you see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way to Malachi, it is not for quoting or citation. Primarily, it is for teaching. You handle the scriptures to teach. You handle the scriptures to explain the scriptures. Is that clear? And so, you must beware of loosely quoting. I can quote. You know how many scriptures I can quote? Baba, calm down. It's not about how many scriptures you can quote. It's about how well you can explain what you quote. Is that clear? Moses built a tabernacle. No, that's easy. So, when he built it, what happened? He's gonna live there. No, he must now explain why he built it, what would be the significance of his building tabernacle to us. That makes sense now. And so you must be able to pay the scriptures. He says, it's for explanation. Explanation. Actually, that word has its roots in Didache. D-I-D-A-C-H-E. Which means a model. So, Paul now narrows it down that it's not just explanation, because it's possible to explain things in different ways. You know, you might want to explain situation of politics, right? So, Paul now narrows, because it's possible that we give different kind of explanation. For example, I want to explain, let me ask you, explain color green, pastor, color expression, explain color green. What first thing I said, one of the Nigerians. Now, that shows you that even though they're doing the same thing, there is a pattern they went. One is talking about branding, one is talking about, right? One is saying, Nigeria black. As though green is not in Brazilian black. One is saying, pastor. As though we don't have rocks that are green. Or as though all grasses are green. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, Paul now says, he's not expanding. All you all green different things. I don't know where I'm today. You know, people actually call for teachers. I also explain it. It's an explanation. They are not just quoting. So explain it something. Remember, from the teaching dialect of the prophet, what we call false teacher will be false teacher aware of the Old Testament. That is, when he says someone is preaching heresy, that heresy is not just loose heresy. It's actually heresy from the Old Testament. So, Paul did not stop. This explanation actually as a model. You know, you learn something? So, not just explanation, a kind of explanation. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God breath. Not that if it's God breath, then why are we explaining it? I think I just need to be for the first time. By saying God breath, it means the word God inspired. Theodemosthenes. God inspired. That is, God inspired this. God inspired you to write a book and you use your words differently. Verbiage. Inspiration is God's. The verbiage is man. I'm coming in. The inspiration is God. The diction, the vocabulary, the language is man's. So, by saying God inspired it, but that's more reason why we should explain it. If you attend, all scripture is God written. Hey, come on. Don't touch it. When God says, kill your firstborn. Because what you will see in Genesis 2 is God asked Abraham to sacrifice. And so, if you don't explain, those who claim that the scripture should not be touched, then you must sacrifice.
He said in the scripture, what for first? If you really want to give it, you sacrifice your first one. Now, not to give, well, maybe. At least not to give. Very Jesus. So, also, giving for explanation, a particular kind of explanation. And as a New Testament minister, which all of us should be, because nobody should believe in the New Testament right now. But if you, but nobody even has that capability in this present. Live in the New Testament. That means you have a cage in your church where you keep up those rams, and you have an altar where you slaughter. That sounds like a rhyme. You have an altar where you slaughter. He says it's for explanation. A particular kind of explanation. And I says that particular kind of explanation will bring about reproof. Reproof is not I'm rebuking you. Yours might be dead. I'm going to reproof him. No. Reproof is actually the word electro, ELECTHO, is the word evidence. That's what so you know your mind saying, how many times is he going to teach this thing? As many times as I can. Because you guys forget it every week. Yeah, I know. Because I might have said. It's the word electro. That is an evidence. And of course, the more I teach it, the more you know how to explain it, right? Very interesting. So we say it's for evidence. So when you follow a particular kind of explanation, a pattern, remember, suppose a pattern, that pattern will now give you passion. Means every correct Bible explanation should produce persuasion. Every correct Bible explanation, every patterned Bible explanation, after Paul, after Jesus' didactic, should produce persuasion. Matthew 7:28, they were astonished at his teaching. That word astonished has to do with a reaction towards a passive truth. They were astonished. That means it cost them an act. When else can we come down? We'll meet you after. We can never meet. They were. Hey, I'm not at home. Oh, hold on. I will not be at home. Okay. Friday night, midnight. I will not be at home. Sunday morning, church. Sunday, we have a program. Because their teaching does not produce persuasion, even though it produces persuasion the wrong way. For some, for the curious. That curiosity is never a proof of truth. You can ask questions, you can be willing to learn, but not curious. Curiosity might lead you to the wrong place. Correct Bible teaching must produce explanation, must produce what? Persuasion. In Luke 24:25, Jesus feels his desire to come to the church and said, oh, fools and prophets, so many the prophet has spoken of the Christ to some of the sins and that is glory. Beginning at Moses and all the prophet, he expounded to them in all the scriptures of 27, the things concerning himself. Beginning at Moses, 24:25-27. He expounded, that means he explained his higher teaching. His higher teaching. He picked Moses and he explained Moses. That word expounded and explained. They are going to be a minister of Jesus. If they are going to be a pastor, a pastor's flock after the way Jesus has feed the flock in John 21:15-17-19. They're going to pastor the flock like that, then you must expound. The prophets are not meant to be looked at or to be quoted. They are meant to be explained. Am I fast this morning? I'm fast. Okay. I will slow down. I said the prophets are meant to explain. The way you handle them is actually to explain it. The Bible is a book, especially the Old Testament now, it's very book that is rigid for you to just take and be using for your life. If that is it, then you will kill your daughter like Jephthah, and you will look for Goliath. Wow. And that's why many people have brought in the issue of my enemy. Goliath was not David's enemy, as it were. He was not even Saul's enemy. He was just doing his job. Right? He was doing his job as a soldier. If he does not go, his country will not like it. The way they have soldiers that protect Nigeria. So when they go to war, they say they should not eat. No, don't shed blood. If they don't shed blood, your own blood will be shed for the redemption of sin. Hallelujah. Alright, so it says it's for explanation. Hallelujah. A kind of explanation. That is how you produce ripple. Now, why Luke 24? So when Jesus was done explaining, verse 32, they now spoke to each other. The two disciples said, hey, did our heart burn within us? Why he opened the scripture to us? Luke 24:32. Did our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures? That is, we should have known. That means, whatever Jesus explained was personal. That makes sense now. Whatever Jesus explained had so much facts. So No, when I see people rubbishing facts, I say, it's all about, you're just telling us, yeah, that day, yeah, that's career. Those are facts. Facts of the explanation. Because you must have facts to say you want to teach, to say you want to explain. Explanation has to do with details. Never let anyone rubbish you. You are just saying too much details. When you're doing your project, you're undergoing projects in school. You need to have details. Hallelujah. Well, the time when you go to your mentor, you can't. You have the project, and even if you actually did not get data, as it were, your literature, you will work, you still do something. Your discussion, you still.
Now, so you don't even know what I'm talking about.
What I'm saying is that to say explanation, you must have, are we now on the same thing? You must have sufficient information. So, Paul is saying, for reproof, look at Peter's teaching in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2. He taught them from Joel. He explained Joel. He used Joel to explain why they were speaking in tongues. He did not just say, hey, you are saying this one. This is me that moved also. We don't even know what you are doing. How to speak. Even like this, I don't even know what I'm saying. I have a lot of people. They speak on that show. It's me. No? You must be able to explain the spirit. And this is our teaching on more than the spirit. You must be able to explain the spirit. What is the spirit, which spirit? No, Peter now took Joel. Now says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I will pass on my spirit upon your sons and daughters. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon your handmaidens will I pass on my spirit. And he said, need to see David. Did David talk about someone who sit at the right hand? And this David is sepulchered with us, so he don't talk about himself. Did David talk about someone who is the only one who will not see corruption? Now began to explain the Old Testament, just the way Jesus was there. In verse 37, the people were now caught to the earth. He now said, they told Peter and the disciples, what can we do? That means, Peter must have explained so much that they felt there's a need for a savior. How you learn something? Peter explained so much, they felt that, there's a need for a savior. Praise God. And that is what correct teaching should do. It should make people ask questions. It should make people convinced of the truth. Evidence is the fruit of Bible explanation. Evidence. Well, that's it. The evidence now for what? Correction. We stay on that. Correction. And that's why I want to do this. Correction. One correct mindset through the Bible. What correction is what? Epanotosis? EPANOROTHOSIS. It means to set things right, to put things in order. Paul would say, I will put the remaining in order when I come to put things in order. When I was younger, I liked arranging the house. I used to call myself an interior decorator. I like that surprise on everybody's face. I would change the arrangement of the same every week. I just don't like the same thing. I don't really do that. I don't like the same thing. In the series that was here last week, I'll bring it here. I said, no, stupid. You carry it back. You like the same thing. I went by Christmas night in May. Or June, I'm buying it on that. I will just make someone look. Sometimes I'll prepare for African home. Sometimes I'll prepare wine with Eve. I'll make it for everybody. I'm going to take all those wood, all those glasses, all those ceramic cups. So I'll go and I'll prepare for everybody. And that's just because a man delivers, a man delivers. Make everything for. So at certain things, in order. Exactly. Certain things in order. My dad used to repair fridge. That's what he does. Engine. Yeah, he doesn't do that again. He doesn't make it. Fridge in Asia. So, there were a lot of freezers in front of our house. Freezers, some of them were existing before I was born. We had a whole lot. Just, at least, don't block any meeting. I'm saying, with the way you arrange things. So, he says, when the scripture is well explained, it brings an evidence, a persuasion, a conviction in your heart. And that conviction is what rearranges things. So that conviction puts the testament in its place, puts the New Testament in its place. That conviction makes you know this is the episode. This is Jesus. No, this is not Jesus. This is Judas. This is not Jesus. This is God. This whatever. Say that evidence makes you know that this is the work of Satan. This that end of the scripture, which is a product of the explanation of the scriptures, brings about correction. Hence, we must allow the word of God to correct our thoughts. We must be able to allow influence our thoughts. That means Bible explanation or tithing, or tithe, or whatever. Or maybe you pay rent and appraise details. Don't critically examine what it means to pay tithe. Hallelujah. I hope that after this teaching, praise God. Praise God.
But you have to be, you know my stance already. Right? That's my doctrine, my way of life.
I don't want to say that. It's not a very important topic like that. Because Paul did not even make mention of it once. Not even as a joke. People have used it. People speak again and say, no, it's bad. It's good. Now, I wonder why I'm even teaching it. Because I'm polite. Don't call me poly now. I'm just polite. Hallelujah. I think one of my children should be a Paul. And another one, Timothy. So the Paul will disciple the Timothy. Something like that. Alright, so, all well. You yourself know. Always my name. Alright. So now let us say that so let's start from there that all did not experience. God did not experience, not even tell us anything. Paul explained the New Testament ministry nevertheless. Paul did not make mention of light. Not this name. Hallelujah. Alright. Start from there. Historically, did not start with Abraham the way many have thought. Many thought Abraham started time. But we look at Abraham's tithe. Actually, a man named David Rook wrote about tithe. Okay, check that out. And historically about Greeks and Romans. The people of Rome, the people of Greece, they give one a tenth of their produce. Or a tenth of their, just a tenth of things, their idols. The Greeks and the Romans. Alright? If you look at encyclopedia, where is like a dictionary? Okay. Which one is encyclopedia? You know what is encyclopedia, right? Encyclopedia is a dictionary. The word dictionary, how do we explain it? Encyclopedia explains that as of taxation. You write N more, history of Babylon. I just showed you the root. A form of taxation, actually. You want to know more, go and read the history of Babylon. So historically, tithing started with the Gentiles, with the Ethiopians. Not even with the Jews, as it were. You might be tempted to say, is a Jewish culture, right? Huh? That's what some of us have said. It's a Jewish culture, but historically, it's actually started with the Gentile nation. Abraham forced him to act in that direction. Abraham was not a Jew. I've explained that before, right? Abraham was not a Jew. Jews started with who? Jacob. Jacob is called Israel. Alright? So Abraham was not a Jew. He had a Gentile background, actually. God called him out. So, I say, actually, established, nevertheless, it has been established, but we have to explain. Since the scriptures spoke about it, we have to explain. Alright. So, Jesus never spoke of tithe as money. This teacher, we have to consider tithe before the law, tithe during the law, tithe in the four gospels, and tithe in the epistles. That is it. I know that the four, generations that we have as well. Tithe before the law, even tithe during the law, tithing in the four gospels, and tithing in the epistles. Which one should have anyone here? I'm giving you open check. Since you know something. That's before the law. Genesis 14. What's the same way we explain salvation, right? Genesis 14, verse 20. Okay? Abraham and Melchizedek. And he blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. So Abraham gave tithes of all, and he did, basically, tithes during the law, Leviticus 27.
We'll still look at all these things one by one. I just want to give you a preamble of it. Leviticus 27. Leviticus before Numbers,
verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will redeem, if a man will at all redeem of his tithe, he shall add therefore the fifth part thereof, and concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy of the Lord. Now, from all you have seen, tithe, what is it about really? Seed, fruit, Someone said yes. Which one? Is it seed as money or seed as seed? Fruit as fruit or fruit as money? Alright. They say of the flock in verse 32, the tithe shall be holy unto the Lord. Tithe in the four gospels. Matthew chapter 23. Tithe in the four gospels. Let's look at the hallmark of the mentions. Matthew 23:23.
Are you there? Let's read together. That's very good.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For he paid tithe of meat and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Tithes mentioned in the epistles, Hebrews 7. I basically only the book of Hebrews talk about them. And you must know why, right? Because of the audience. Talk about Melchizedek and Abraham. So let's go. As all the times tithing was done, it has to do with spices. Spices like something like margi, pori, what else? Spice. Cumin. Like, you know, I like cumin. There's still cumin. You used to buy cumin. If you go to culinary school, you still buy cumin, buy all this. All you just get there is like, go and be like. It has to do with spices, not money. It has to do with farm produce. What you produce on the farm. Now, historically, from the scriptures, Abraham will be the first to tithe. Right? Even though tithe preceded Abraham. Tithe came before Abraham. But Abraham was the first to tithe in the Bible. As it were. Yeah, Abraham was the first. Adam did not eat his tithe. So that's a funny revelation. Abraham was the first. And we need to know something very key. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and was dealt with for righteousness. Genesis 15:6. So, what made Abraham righteous? Tithe or faith? I want to hear that loud. Tithe or faith? I like that. So, faith in Christ. Let me say. Faith in Christ, actually. Hallelujah. He believed God, Genesis 15:6. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was imputed. So, today, if you think tithe is what will make you holy or accepted before God, you are wrong. The law of God's mention has made you guilty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright, so let that Abraham's tithe. Remember, Ephesians will explain to us better. Hebrews 7. That's the last scripture we open now. Hebrews 7. Verse 1. We'll worry together. It's a story. We basically enjoy it. Verse 1 to 10. As you are reading, pay attention to detail. 1 to go. For this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Fourth, in by interpretation, King of Righteousness, and after that also, King of Salem, which is King of Peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, on the womb even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoil, and verily, they are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe. Who has a commandment to take tithe? Eh? The Levites, the priests. Thank you. According to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is counted, is not counted from them, received tithe of Abraham, and blessed him that he had promised. And without all contradiction, the lesser is better of the better. And yet men that die receive tithes. But yet he received them, of whom it is wisdom that he liveth. Yet also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. But he was yet in the loins of his father when he met. Now, this is funny because if some people argue this explanation, they say, ha ha ha, Levi was in the loins of Abraham when Abraham paid tithes. And so, because Abraham paid tithes, make said that. Levi is now reaping. They are now collecting the tithes. Oh, Makasaka, your generation can benefit from the tithe. And that will be possible. Hey, hey, hey. I can't even remember what I said. I just said, that's a heteros quadrillion. Hallelujah. Alright, so, observe, Abraham tithe the spoils of war. The spoils of war. Verse 4. Now, because I have this great man, give the tenth of the spoils. He went to war, he won, and so no. And then he met Melchizedek on the way, and he gave 10th, 1/10 of everything he gathered from the spoils of war, and he gave to Melchizedek. He did not give his possession. He didn't give his salary. He gave something he brought. That makes sense? Does that make sense? Alright. The word priest is the word Kohen. K-O-E-N. It means a mediator. Someone who comes on the behalf of another. He stands on the behalf of another person. Now, do we still need mediators in the New Testament? Eh? Do we need someone to stand between us and Jesus or between us and God? Eh? To mediate, to plead on our behalf, do we? If you need, let me know. I can help you get one from the island. All these lawyers, I don't have to be a mediator. Alright, so by saying Abraham 9 times in the book of Hebrews. In Revelation, 3 times. Only Peter used it. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a royal priesthood. Paul didn't use it, and not once.
My God. My kind of person.
He didn't even use it once, the word priest. Because Paul's idea, Paul's revelation was in Christ. How could he have used the word in Christ and still used priest? Ah, in Christ, Christ in whom, in him, and still use, we need. That won't be going together. No one that Paul referred to Exodus to. So that's quite instructive. But all of them are looking at issue. I want to learn from issue. So that we know what those two. I know you already have your stance on that. Title. Too much of exaggeration in different teaching. But this one, just want to focus on it. And it was for forever and ever. Is that amen? Alright, so why did the writer of Hebrews now mention Exodus? Paul never mentioned it. Peter never mentioned Exodus. Why? Hebrews 1:1. God who has hundred times and diverse manner spoken to the fathers by the prophet, as in this has spoken to us in his son. Now, by saying God who has hundred times and diverse manner spoken unto the fathers, who used fathers? Who are the fathers? Who are the fathers? The Jewish fathers. Who are the fathers? The Jewish fathers, right? So by saying God, look at the way you open the book, open the book of Hebrews. God was under. He didn't even think that the audience would not know. Because he was writing to Jews. So, Abraham and the prophet were their fathers. Not our own. I know my father. I know my grandfather. I know my great grandfather. Abraham was not from Osun State. Or Alhambra. Alhambra. Abraham. Abraham was not from Lagos. Hallelujah. No offense to anyone. Abraham was not from Lagos. So, the book of Hebrews, like we examine in our teaching salvation group, has three audiences, right? The believing Jews, the unbelieving Jews, and what? The unconvinced Jews. Those are, we're not yet convinced. We're not yet convinced. Don't fall after the same pattern of unbelief. The unconvinced Jews. The believing Jews, the unbelieving Jews, the unconvinced Jews. You see the unbelieving Jews in Hebrews 10:26. Where is he explaining that? When you were saying, when you talk about losing salvation, that you think it's about losing salvation, that you're talking to unbelieving Jews. Then, Jews who are yet to be convinced. Hebrews 3:12, Hebrews 2:3, Hebrews 10:19-22. Hebrews 3:12, Hebrews 2:3, Hebrews 10:19-22. Alright, so the book of Hebrews is the only book that had an unrestrained language of words like tempo. You know, Paul had a restrained language. You can literally pick out how Paul used the word tempo, how Paul used the word tabernacle, right? The literally is powering. And when he uses it, he had a way of explaining it, right? But the book of Hebrews had an unrestricted access to that language. Just in tabernacle, temple, sacrifice, blood, priest, ark, fathers. I know the Paul mentioned father. The father. That's what Paul. The father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or is it the fathers of our Lord Jesus Christ? No? So, the book of Hebrews, there's a way to read it. Because it was talking to Jews. The Jews respect the ministry of Melchizedek because of what their father Abraham did. So they respected the ministry of Melchizedek. And that's why the writer used Melchizedek to explain Jesus. That is, look at this Melchizedek. He has no father. That's what he said. That before Abraham met him, Abraham did not know his father or mother. Abraham just met Melchizedek. And though Melchizedek was not a leper, Abraham gave tenth. Let's just see it. It's the same way just before he was in Dashim. Not that Abraham had any. Just gave Melchizedek out of honor, not out of an obligation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the first thing to know is that Abraham was not asked to give Melchizedek. I will repeat it. Abraham was not asked to give Melchizedek. He did it out of honor, not because he wanted to prosper. So, Hebrews 7 will not be preaching tithes. Rather, it was quoting Genesis 14, the event of Genesis 14. Hebrews 7 is not explaining tithes. It was quoting the event of Genesis 14 when Abraham met Melchizedek, and he was using that to explain the superiority of Jesus to the priesthood of Aaron. That is, look at the Levi now that are now collect tithes. They are mortal men who can change their priesthood. But look at Melchizedek. He says he was like the figure of the Christ. He was like unto the figure of the Christ. You can't trace him. You can't say this is where he came from. Even though you can trace where he just came from, right? What is using Melchizedek? Melchizedek had no father or mother. Yes. He was a normal man. People have said Melchizedek is Jesus. He came in the Old Testament. Melchizedek was not Jesus. Jesus is not Melchizedek. He are not them. Hallelujah. He are not them. Saves. Pardon my English. So, direct in Hebrews 7 to explain the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus, the eternal priesthood of Jesus, over the priesthood of Aaron. That's why that's in Hebrews 7:3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither the beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. This Melchizedek is not God or Jesus. So, how can he have no father? Even just always say, my father, which is in heaven. But he has no father, so he can't be Jesus. How does it? Does that make sense? Can't be. Without father and mother, in the word agnelotis. A-G-N-E-A-L-O-T-E-S. That's what without father and mother. I spell it again. H-N-E-A-O-T-E-S. It's actually the word unrecorded genealogy. So we say without father and mother. It's actually that unrecorded genealogy. Does that make sense? Alright. So the priesthood is from the tribe of Levi. If you are not the priesthood, if you want to be a priest, you have to be from the tribe of the Levites. Who are the Levites? Levites are one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was Levi. Is it making sense now? We are Reuben, right? Joseph. One of those sons was now Levi. They now, let me explain. The 12 tribes, the 12 sons have their own children. So, they now, this is the Benjamin tribe, this is the Levi tribe, this is the Judah tribe. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So, they are tribes. So, the ones that are now the priests, that means someone from Benjamin cannot be a priest. He has to take someone from Levi to be a priest. That makes sense. So, if you are a priest, I don't know, either you are from Ijebu or from Lagos, you are not a priest. You are a priest. Hallelujah. Why am I attacking my brothers this morning? Alright, so, verse 6. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 will actually show you that Melchizedek has a descent. But he whose descent is not counted. That makes sense. Look at Melchizedek. But he whose descent is not counted from dead received title of Abraham. That is, he had a descent, so just not recorded. We appreciate this teaching. He had a descent, but the descent was just not recorded. So, Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. What would that mean? To mean a priest without descent from Levi. No, Jesus is not from Levi. Jesus from what? Judah. Make it sense now. Because David is from Judah. So, he's using the fact that we call Jesus an high priest. The high priest of our profession. But he is not from tribe. Same way Melchizedek was not from that tribe. Because it's only that tribe that collect tithes. We see why they collect tithes. Because they have no land. Every other Israelite tribe, they had lands where they farm. So, that's it. Since the Levites don't have land, what they will do is that they will be saying in the temple, every other person that has land, you will bring me tenth of what you have for them to eat. Make sense now. They stay in the temple, Levites. They don't work. What they miss, the priesthood, carry sacrifice about. Then they eat from what other tribes are bringing to them. Who makes sense? Like, I believe they are not there. But people are farming. They are just staying, with the God there. And then, they will take 110%. And they are getting 110%. Everybody will have 90. We are 110. Smart guys. They say, who will be the priest? They just say, But the only issue that they can die inside the body of women. They can die here. You understand the parable now? So Levites was a priest. In that sense, by saying, Jesus was an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, was just explaining that Jesus also was not from the Levite tribe. Yet, he's an high priest. That is the order he's talking about in Hebrews 7:13-17. That order is the order of priesthood. Look at the word midlife, Hebrews 7:3. Thank you, Jesus. Are you listening? Hebrews 7:3 is without father, without mother. We explain that. That's unrecorded genealogy, right? Agnelotis. Without descent, we'll be able to see that he has descent. Verse 6. Having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, that's what's unrecorded. But made like homolotis, H-O-M-O-L-O-T-E-S, to show how another person would be like, to show how another would be like. He was made like, not that he was created in the image of Jesus. He was made like, that is, he was to show, like a prototype, like a sample. Have you seen sample before? You see those make 500 copies of something for someone. Then they say, send a sample, right? Send a sample. Let me see how the others will look like. So, Melchizedek was a sample of what the Christ would look like. How was it a sample of what the Christ would look like? because Christ will not be from the order of heaven. I hear something. What does it mean? Similitude that you see in verse 15, Hebrews 7:15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest. Verse 15. Similitude. So if Jesus was Melchizedek, then what similitude will not be used? I'm debunking the fact just because that's where many get it wrong. I know you have heard that before. I just make it say that. Many people left here. Jesus make it say that. Jesus collected that. No. If he even collected it, hey, let's give him rice. Hey, what? Massey, I mean, what? You must recognize that. Melchizedek did not ask for peace from Abraham. Abraham gave it. So, if Jesus was making it say that, what similitude will not be used? Look at verse 17, Hebrews 7. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thou, Jesus, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thank you, Jesus. Did Jesus collect tithes? Did Jesus collect tithes? Are you sure? Okay. Let's go to the story of that Genesis 14. And let's see. We will just use the episode to clarify some things. Let's go to Genesis 14. See that we now know that Melchizedek was not Jesus. Let's see the story very well. Genesis 14. So, we follow the story in Genesis 14 well. And it came to pass in the days of, let's start from there. 11 verse 12. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Anah, and these were confederates with Abraham. Verse 14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318 of them, and pursued unto Dan. And he divided himself against them. And he had a servant by night and smote them. So Abraham was a warrior. Hallelujah. And you have thought that Abraham was the wrong weak guy. The warrior. And smote them. And pursued them unto Oba, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. And also brought again his brother Lot. Hallelujah. So he won. He brought back all the goods. And the brother is there. And the woman also. Abraham. And the people. And the king of Sodom. So he brought the king of Sodom. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer. And of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's there. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, bought bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the blessings and take the goods unto yourself. Are you even following? And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord and the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoelace, that I will not take anything from that which is thine, lest you will say, I have made Abraham rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten, and a portion of the men which went with me, Anna, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. What did Abraham say? Abraham said, so whatever all the things that Abraham took, he gave 10% to Melchizedek, and gave 90% to the king of Sodom. He said, I won't take anything, not even a shoelace. I didn't know they were wearing Adidas. They're not even a shoelace. So I won't say, I have made Abraham rich. But the only thing I will take is basically what my men have eaten. I think they took some things out of their stuff. You know? That's the only thing. You can have every other thing. Are you following this story? Follow the story, right? So, Abraham had nothing from the war. How about that? He gave 10% to Melchizedek and gave 90% to the king of Sodom. Abraham, that showed that Abraham did not pay that tax to prosper. He was prosperous and he didn't take anything from it. He didn't take anything from it. So, under the law, Moses also redeemed tithe to spoils of war. Now, the way Moses also explained tithe as spoils of war. Look at Numbers 31, verse 25. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, of course, we'll be able to explain that word. Why say, and the Lord? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the sum of the prey that was taken, both man and beast, thou and Eliezer the priest, and the chief of fathers of the congregation, and divide the pray into two parts. Between them that took the war upon them, who went out to battle, and between all the congregation. That is, when you come back from war, you buy whatever you get into two parts. Give some to the soldiers that went, and give some to the congregation. How many things? Verse 28. And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war, which went out to battle. One soul of 500. Now, how many percent would that be? One soul of 500. Both of the persons, and of the beasts, and of the asses, and of the sheep. And take it of their half, and give it to the other priest, and give an offering unto the Lord. Verse 30. And the children of Israel's half, thou shalt take one portion of it, of the persons, of the beef, of the asses, of the flock, of man of the and give them to the Levites. So, how many percent are you giving to the Levites? One portion of 50. How many percent? One hour, all over 50. How many are tight? 1.5? 1 over 50. 2%.
Okay.
I said 1.5. Alright, so, so 2%. So what was this called? The tithe of war. 2%. Observe now, verse 30. And of the children's, of the children's half, that shall take one portion of 50, because of the Israel's half, rather. Why is it Israel's half? They've already divided it into half before. 50 had gone to what? The men of the battle, the soldiers. 50 went to Israel. That's of that Israel, that's the city of Israel. One out of everything, one out of the ships, if they have 50 ships, one out of it. That means they have 100 ships, two. That means that one of every 50, you now take it and give it to the Levite, because they are not part of the country. That means that. So, Moses preached tithe, yeah, as 2%. Later we will see this teaching. Now when someone said tithe, you must ask the person which kind of tithe. Because there are different kind of tithe. Is when you don't read the Bible well, that you think there's only one tithe. Look at this tithe now. That the Levites will receive. The Levites are enjoying, I'm telling you. They are the ones that say, small tribe, big God. Hallelujah. So, Hebrews 7 was not teaching priests, was not teaching, tithing, was teaching what? Priesthood. You are not. Hebrews 7 was not teaching tithing, was teaching the superior God, Jesus' priesthood. Now, look at, Jacob also made it, the vow of tithe, Genesis 28. So, after Abraham's account, it's the Jacob that might, and Abraham's account was spoils of war, that's why I went to, Numbers 31, exactly. Spoils of war. So, if you don't go to war, I don't know what you're saying. Soldiers, Nigerian soldiers should, right? All the iPads they receive from the other soldiers. One out of three iPads, very useful. How glad you see. Alright, so, after Abraham's account, who else died before the law? Jacob. Or, he did that actually, he just said his mouth. Here is what he did. Jacob is money. So that can snitch on his brother. How can you? Because of poor age. Esau to Messner. Poor age. Here is 28. Learn this thing. Learn something. Verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. There shall the Lord my, there shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set a pillar, shall be God's house. That's your own God. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. So he proposed like, he did do it, he was never recorded. I believe it was, he did it. Jacob would have mentioned it. I trust him. So, in the two instances that we have seen tithe now before the law, did God ask them to bring it? Genesis 14 and Genesis 28, 20, 22. Did God ask them to bring it? It's not because I opened his mouth back either. I said, I will give a debt. Did God ask him? Because, you can be tempted to think that God is the one asking you for that. You get Malachi. You get Malachi. Hallelujah. So let's look at under the law. We have seen before the law. What tithe is. No, God did not ask them. Abraham's tithe. Voice of war, which he did not give to prosper. If you want to follow Abraham's tithe, Abraham paid tithe. It's not about the law. So that was arguing. And his argument was that Abraham had the law. He paid tithe. Abraham had the law. He paid tithe. That's the tithe of the law. I said, that's good, sir. What we are going to do now? That you pay tithe, right? Like Abraham. Yes, I pay tithe like Abraham. I'm not paying law like Moses. I'm under the law. I'm under the law. Don't tell me that. Abraham's tithe was 100%. He gave someone 10, he gave another 10%. What you mean? That your salary. That your 40 days are like that. That's the man who gave you 40. So you did that. He dead to your pastors. He made it that. He made it that. Me. I'm the king of Sodom. Hallelujah. Since you don't want to be smart, think. Abraham did not take anything out of that war. He gave them to Melchizedek, get the king of Sodom. If you want to under the law. Under the law, actually, three kinds of tithe. Three kinds. Number one. Numbers 18. We'll look at the three kinds of tithe under the law. Numbers 18. Verse 20 to 21. We'll read together. Numbers 18. Verse 20. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part. Now, will Aaron be a Levite? Is Aaron a Levite? Is Aaron a Levite? Yes, now. That was why people said he was comparing the ministry of Aaron to that of Jesus. So, look at what God is telling you. Don't have any land. Shall not have any inheritance in their land. I am your part. And your inheritance among the children of Israel. This is not what you have told God. Don't worry, don't be my part. Let me have land. My Lord, my God. I love, I know you love me too. I love you. But the issue right now is that I need a land. Because I am your inheritance. It's a way where everything is taken from peace. Give us the land. Now take yourself away. I give myself away. Alright, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the things in Israel for an inheritance. For their service which they serve. Their service they serve. Even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Does that make sense now? Yeah? So, we call that the tithe of the Lord. Or the Levite's tithe. The Levite's tithe. So, we have three kinds of tithe. The Levite's tithe. Look at verse 10. From verse 9. Ye shall be thy of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy son. So that means all the sacrifice that Israel was giving, and they were taking it to the Lord. What is God saying? It shall be for who? For you and yours. He never asked anyone to sacrifice. And if you say you are stubborn, now Moses, because Moses knew, smart guy, yeah, okay. You want to give. God shall sacrifice something, bring it. Now go there. What is what the Lord is saying? I'm not the one. All the things that they are doing is most holy for you. And it is separate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Leviticus 27. Leviticus is four numbers. Leviticus 57. What is the name of tithe? Verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, that was what we read there. Of the fruit of the land is unto the law. And if a man shall redeem himself of the land, that is the and for any tithe of the law, of the law, even whatsoever passes over the rod, the tithe shall be holy unto the Lord. So by saying holy unto the Lord, it should be for the Levite, right? You can call it the Lord's tithe or the Levite's tithe, which is 10%. A tenth. You see that in Leviticus 27, Numbers 18. A tenth. Look at Numbers 18. Look at verse 31. I want to show you something. Verse 30. Want to go. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when you have eaten the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levite as the increase of the what? Threshing floor. And as the increase of the wipers. That is, everything you gather, when you eat it of the Levite. Verse 31, everybody together, want to go. And you shall eat it in every place. You and your household. What is your reward for your service in the tabernacle? So the Levite's tithe is what? Eating. You shall eat it in every place. I don't think that's my money. How can they be eating 1,000 naira notes? Or they be eating every loaf? He says the tithe that the Levite will receive, they shall eat it in every place. Is that buttressing the fact that we are talking about food, produce, and things? Eh? You see that tithe is actually eating. Eating. Going for where we buy post with it and doing the Fanta. That is the tithe. Hallelujah. So, the tithe is for Levites, and it's ate in every place. Not just the only place. They take it away from the only place. You have brought it to the only place. They will take it away from the only place and eat it in every place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And like I said, the Levite tribe is actually a cheap tribe. You, in your mind, you have brought tithe to the Lord. In the Lord of Makashakata, you brought it. They don't take it from the only place. Come on, yeah. They can't make you do. Levite can make you do. In every place, with your own yam, that you thought the Lord, that Lord is Lord, and Lord is the boy, go for it. The Levite will go to every place. You find him. I love the tribe. Praise God. Okay, so the tribe is for Levites. Because they don't have lands, they serve in the tabernacle. They want to clean the temple, arrange the temple, make it ready for sacrifice, that they will eat. You know, and all the stuff. I think we can look at Nehemiah 10. Nehemiah. No, I don't think Nehemiah anymore. Nehemiah is before Esther. I'm going to start looking at Matthew Mark. before the revelation. Nehemiah is before Esther. I know you do. Yeah. Nehemiah 10, verse 38. Let's read together, everybody. and the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levite. When the Levites take tithe, and the Levite shall bring up the tithe of the tithe to the house of God and the human of the treasure house. Does that make sense? For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, the new wine, the oil, the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary and the priests, ministers and the brothers of the singers, and will not forsake the house of our God. So the Levites, they don't have an inheritance, so they must not work. But really, not all of them are priests. Because the priests are now chosen. In our teaching, I explained how that when a priest now dies, what they do is that they now take another one, have they? But from the flock of the Levite, they are just waiting there to be priests. The way, not everybody is a king, but you are in the royal lineage. Right? That means you can be a king at any time. That's before you die. That makes sense. Alright. So, none of them are priests, but inheritance. The Lord is their inheritance. Praise God. Praise God. So we've seen number one type of tithes, right? Right? Number two, the festival tithe. The festival tithe. Say festival tithe. Like a labor of food. Something like that. Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 12. Verse 1, Romans 12. I'll quickly read from verse 1 to 19. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe and do in the land. Now, keep this in mind. Which you shall do in where? Yeah? In the land. Which land? Canaan. Alright. Because tithe was not meant for the 40 years in the wilderness. They started tithing when they go to heaven. So, funny enough, Moses never even saw them give tithe. But Moses never even got them. Aaron got them. How about that? Moses never saw them. So Moses that commanded them, not even there when they were paid, which you shall observe and do the land which the Lord God of Abraham has given, thy father give thee to possess it, all the days that you shall live upon the earth. Verse 2. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein all the nations which possess serve their gods, and upon the mountains of the high, upon the hills, upon every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars, and break their pillars, and burn their groves with fire, and you shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. That is, as I destroy other people, don't do so unto the Lord your God. Verse 5. For to the place which the Lord God shall choose out of your own tribes to put his name there, even so the habitation you seek there, and later you shall come. Verse 6. And later you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifice, and your tithes, your eve offerings of your hand, of your vows, of your free will offering, of your firstlings, of your herds, and of your flock. And there ye shall eat. That makes sense now. Eh? That makes sense. He said, you bring your offering, your tithe, your sacrifices, your vows, your free will of it. That's it. You will now eat. Look at the Bibles. Before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all that he put your hand into. You and your household, bearing the Lord thy God has blessed you. You shall not do after these things which we do here this day. Every man whatsoever in his eyes is right in his own eyes. For ye and not as yet come to the rest and to the name that the Lord has given you. That is, you have not gotten there yet. That makes sense. But when you get there, point out your gods and start, there will be times where you come together and bring free will or bring vows, tithes. Is that clear? Is that clear? Are you following the narrative? You have to understand. That is not. Verse 10. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land with the Lord God gives you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, Then there shall be a place where the Lord God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And that's the place where you bring all that I have commanded you. Your burnt offering, your sacrifice, your tithe, your eve offering of your hand, and your choice vows, which you vow unto the Lord. Let's see verse 12 together. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons, and your daughters, and your men servants, and your maids, and your Levites, that is within your gate, for as much as he has no part, no inheritance with you. Take it to yourself. That thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou see. That is not, you know, not just in any place, but somewhere where God will put you. Eh? Is it clear? Is it clear? Let us do this sacrifice in any place. You must bring that sacrifice and offering to somewhere where God will put you. Verse 14 now says, but in the place where the Lord shall choose, in one of your tribes. Can you see that? That means the number account that we read earlier on, after this one, right? Eh? They are chosen the tribe. Numbers already. So we are going to the beginning, when Moses was actually commanding tithe. Then thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and thou shalt do as I command thee. Notwithstanding, that thou may kill and eat flesh in all gates, whatsoever thy soul lost after, according to the blessing of the Lord which they are giving thee. Look at your Bibles, look at your Bibles, look at your Bibles. The unclean and the clean you may eat thereof, and of the robe and of the heart. Verse 16. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. Verse 17. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or thy wine, or thy oil, or the firstlings of thy earth or the flock, nor the vows without vows, or the pure offering of the yield of the offering. Hey, that tithe was never money. It was never corn, oil. That's what it was talking about. Corn. Abadu. Imagine putting corn inside every loaf and dropping it in the basket. You'll be able to tithe with you. And you only came with the bag of meat. And just draw it in front of you. All time. But they come. I read the Bible, sir. I that actually saw corn contextually. Hallelujah. God, oil. That's what he liked. Verse 18. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in every place. In the place who the Lord shall choose. Where is the place the Lord shall choose? You know, we have seen it already. Where is the place the Lord shall choose? The Levites. Yeah, that's right. And thou, the son, the daughters, the mind seven, the maid seven, Levites, which is within thy gates, shall rejoice before thee. Of course, they will rejoice. Because it's coming to their hands. Take it, verse 19, to thyself, that thou forsakest not the Levite, as long as thou live upon the earth. So the tithe is for the Levite. Praise God. So that's the festival tithe. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and bring that the field bring forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of the corn, of the wine, of the oil, of the firstlings of the head, or of the flock, and thou mayest learn to fear the Lord God in all your ways. Verse 24. And if the way be too long for you. Now, that means, the place that God chose, if it's too long for you to get there, what did he say? So that thou cannot able to carry it. Or if the place be too far from you, which the Lord God shall choose and set it in there, when the Lord God has blessed thee, what shall you do? Then thou shalt turn it into money. Our Jesus will not be wrong. Because the place is far, that's why we turn into money. Observe. Okay. Thou shalt turn into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shalt go to the place where the Lord God shall choose. Verse 26, let it together. And thou shalt bestow the money on whatever your soul loveth, on oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink, or whatever, and thou shalt eat it before the Lord, and thou shalt rejoice. That means, it's still not the money. The reason why he has to turn into money is that it will not spoil before he gets it. Because before he gets it, everything might fall on the way. That's it. Turn into money. When you get there, you buy it again. Hallelujah. The tactic is by force. It's by force. Oil. Don't go and give me oil. I will pray for you. I'll get my head. I'll make it possible. Hallelujah. So, are you getting the gist of that? Huh? Yeah. The gist. The gist. It's actually about corn. Basically, they like corn. So this kind of type, festival type, is not just for the Levite. It's for everyone. Are you able to eat a particular place? You will eat your tithe. How is it? The other you have taken your tenth, you now come to where the Lord shall choose. You will now eat it. That's why you must have paid the next year. You will not eat it. Never. Come on. Hey, man, I died. Alright, so, the tithe must be eaten. It's not money. He says, he waits too long. After you have converted it to money, now says you want again. Convert it back. Oxen, whatever you like, but it will not be money. Can't give the Levites money because they don't speak, they don't have land, they don't have anything. What they need is shelter. They have already as the tabernacle and the temple. Levites don't own private jets. Hallelujah. So, the top tithe, the tithe for the poor. The other thing are tithing under the law, right? So we've seen two types of tithe. Number one, the Levite tithe. The Levite tithe or the Lord's tithe. Then number two, the festival tithe, which was what? Eating, like a party. So, there should be days in the church, those churches are parties, where everybody must come together and we are eating our tithes. We are eating our tithes. Say, hey, brother, I think you can eat guess who? Yes, you know. Are you there for me? You also hear me? Yeah, let's eat our tithe. Want to go? Yeah, thank you for well. Yeah, eating our tithe with joy. Hallelujah. I think the opposite of what some pastor said today. Don't eat your tithe. Moses said, eat it. That's the scripture. Let's follow it. I don't like you to follow the scripture. Let's follow it. Don't eat your tithe. Don't eat your tithe. Moses said, you must eat it. If you don't eat your money, again, buy something. Tithe is child. Tithe for the poor. The third kind of tithe under the law. Deuteronomy 14. Greed. You don't make your people see this. You will never see it. It's that one tithe. That is it. And the basically, that has been said over time. That has been said about the actually the Levite side. Which, you should actually be ashamed that you're saying it. Is that ignorance or wickedness? Because you're not a Levite. Sir, you are from Inewi. Inewi, right? How can you be from Ine? We know your father's house. Your father's compound.
Tight.
It's good. Tight for the poor. You should be 14 or so years. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of your increase. That same year. And you shall lay it up within thy gate. And the Levite, because he has no path, no inheritance with thee. And the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come. And they shall eat and be satisfied. That the Lord God might bless thee in all thy work and everything. No. This tithe for Levites, widows, fatherless, strangers, that they will have no home. Says this tithe is for them. Tithe for the poor. So, once in a year, this one is once in a year, not even a month. I don't see that. No, it's even once in a year. At the end of 3 years, every 3 years, sorry, verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth. At the end of 3 years, that's serious. Once in 3 years, to feed the poor. That'll be 3.3% per year. Yeah, because they only bring 10% at the end of 3 years. So, 10 divided by 3, 3.333. So, this tithe is 3.3% per year. Per year, not even month. How many per month? 3.3 divided by 4. 7.24. So, for the next 40 years, the tithe was actually not practiced. Tithe was not practiced. Why? Why was it not practiced for 40 years? No, got into Canaan. Yeah. Tithe was for Canaan. Deuteronomy 12:1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land that the Lord will give you. Verse 5. For to the place where the Lord shall choose to put his name on. Verse 6. He shall bring it to the place that God should choose. Verse 19. He shall give it to the Levite. Leviticus 27:30, we read that earlier. So, Moses himself was not around when he started paying tithe. That's just Jesus. Because Moses never made it to Canaan. Never made it to Canaan. So Moses himself, that gave them the law. I know, it was not around. But of course, he had already mentioned that, it must be for the Levites. And they did not disobey. They didn't disobey. They kept giving it to them. With the poor tithes. With the poor tithes. So the tithe for the poor, while the poor to tithe it, obviously no. Why would they tithe what they will eat? The poor were to eat it. So those who don't have were not to tithe. They were to receive of the tithe. That's in Leviticus 19. Are you getting something this morning? Leviticus 19 verse 9. And when you reap of the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gains of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, neither give falsely, neither lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely. So that's Leviticus 19:9-10. He's saying, when you are harvesting, leave the corners of your field. When you are gathering, don't gather in the greenness. Why? Leave the fingers at the poor. You must not die in Nigeria. Even the rich will take it. Saw something that said somewhere in this Scotland that fruit in your house. You're going to hang it. There are some railings by the roadside. Just put the fruit in the bag, put it there. And I said, someone up with Nigeria. Someone will gather everything and send it to the traffic. We don't get out of this thing for the poor. And it goes to that. I agree. Thank God. Hallelujah. So the poor are not to tithe. You are to receive of the tithe. Malachi 3:3. That is for the poor. You know that? Let's speak to get Malachi properly. And you shall see it as a refiner of silver, and shall purify the sons of leaven, and pour them as well as silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Sorry. Alright. Verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be on the Lord in days of old and days of former. Verse 5. Let everybody read verse 5 together, everybody. And I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be swift with the beast of Israel against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the prosperous, and against those that oppress the alien in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, the Lord. That is, the right of the stranger is the time. Don't turn the widow and the stranger right from here, right? You must pay it, but those that will come upon the street. Judge. Is that clear? So, the tithe was for the Levites and the poor. And they were not to tithe. The purpose of it was to help others. That was the purpose of it. It was to help others who had no food. So, should we declare that in the church today?
Yes.
That everybody bring a part of their income to help others who don't have enough. Hallelujah. So, should a Christian tithe? This tithe to the poor. Should a Christian give the tithe, the Lord's tithe? Just very well. That is to help the clergy. Shepherd. Maybe I just met them once in a year.
They will teach them. So the poor are not to die. The fatherless are not to die. The widows were not to die. Look at Jesus' spirit. He never died. They are not qualified. But they were poor. They are Jesus' spirit. Even Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there was no record in the entire scriptures that Jesus himself paid time. He didn't. He didn't. Let us quickly look at, Second Chronicles, chapter 31. Second Chronicles 31. Alright. Verse 11. And we are ready together. Want to go? And be better. And brought in the offerings and the tithe and dedicated things faithfully over which Coneh the Levite was ruler. And Shemai, his brother, was the next. So that makes sense. So it's for Levites. Those of the house who feast. Those who offer things in the tabernacle. So, dear pastor, are you listening to me? If you don't offer sacrifice, burnt offerings, you don't need all the time. Do you in your church by any way burn up lambs, sheep? Do you in your church by any way have the holiest of all and do you by any way they tie chains to your leg? If yes, you are qualified. If no, you have a car, you have a house that you stay, you don't dwell in the temple, you have Rolls Royce, Uncle Pastor, you have a bed. Levites don't have beds. Levites don't buy beds. Levites stay in the temple forever. You're not getting it. You don't know how to say I'm going to work, I'm going to work. Yeah, it's the Lord's house. Praise God. So, it is for the Levites. Nehemiah 10:38, we read that earlier. Nehemiah 13, verse 4. And before this, Eliashib, the priest, having the oversight over the chamber of the house of God, was allied unto Tobiah. Tobiah, that name is serious, it's a serious name. Verse 10. And I perceive that the portion of the Levite had not been given there, for the Levite and the singers that did the work were led everyone to his field. They contended high with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and said them their prayers. The man observed that when he got there, Levites were not working. This is a disorder. Levites are working. Why? Because people were giving them anything. You entire people of Israel, they don't have a Levite. Without me giving you everything, see what I've done. We have calculated you guys are getting 110, you are getting 90. You can't be getting everything. So, the Levite has to go and work. He didn't want to die anything. Because the Lord was not going to do it. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to work. Hallelujah. So, the Levite said, why did you forsake? So, he put them in their place. Verse 12. They brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil to the treasury. Is this still making sense? That tithe is your money? Is this still making sense? So, let's see Malachi 3, which is the king of all the tithes. Yeah? The old man for salvation. And as long as this Malachi 3, I basically edit every Sunday. Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse. That he may be good gift in my Alaye. Pastor Alaye. So Malachi 3 was really good to the Lord Levites. Let's say the book of Malachi itself. Malachi chapter 1 verse 1. The burning of the word of the Lord unto Israel by Malachi. Look at chapter 2 verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. That's only for Levites. It's a book of priests. Alright. Look at Malachi. Malachi 3 basically was talking to Levites. They are the ones meant to listen. They are the ones meant to bring the tithe of the tithe into the storehouse. You know where that earlier? In Nehemiah 10:38. Let's go back to Nehemiah 10:38. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levite. When the Levite shall take tithe. So how about you take tithe? What will happen? And the Levite shall bring up the tithe of the tithe into the house of God, to the chambers and the treasure house. So, the purpose is that when the Levite receives the tithe of the people, what would they now do that? They will bring 11 that left the same. That makes sense. Is it making sense now? No, we receive of the 11 tribes. They are the 12. 10, 1 and 10. Now, tithe. 11. So basically, what the Levites had was 99. Right? Yeah, 99. Plus 11. 99. Right? So Levites had 99. After they are eating, they are not meant to eat everything. They are now meant to now bring 11. That makes sense. They take out of their own debt. Malachi is referring to Levites. So, and the tithe was meant to come into the storehouse. 11. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's getting clear. So Malachi was
kind of tithes in the storehouse for the poor, for the pillars, for the fatherless. Then I will come upon you soon. I will judge you. That's what the verse 5 that we read earlier. Malachi 3:5. Praise God. Hallelujah. The book of Malachi was written after Nehemiah. Of course, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, they were after Nehemiah. Nehemiah already explained that, what's all this disorder in it? I came to build what? I'm seeing Levite on the field. What's happening? Who is not that they borrow you? Praise God. Praise God. Malachi 1:6. My man, the person. A son honors his father, and the servant the master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? If I then be a master, where is my fear? Say the Lord of hosts, O priest, that thou despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name? So, he's admonishing the book of Malachi is actually for priests. Levi. So, he's admonishing them that, you guys don't even care. And people are working for you. And then you are not even bringing. Say, where is my fear? Where is my honor? Malachi 2:1. O ye priest, this commandment is for you. Malachi 3:3. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall prepare the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. And he might offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So the instructions of the book of Malachi was to Levi or Levi unto the priest. Notice, the priests don't tithe. Right? They don't tithe. Basically, what they are bringing, the 10th of 10, they are bringing is not the tithe. Hey, is it getting clear? Let me say it again. The 10th of the 10th, they are bringing not their own. They are just going to bring the 10th the people gave to put in the store. And it's just for safekeeping. Levites don't have cars. Priests don't have cars. They don't have an inheritance. That's the first criteria. You must not have an inheritance. Your inheritance is the Lord. They have private jets. Priests don't have iPhones. A Levite that is an iPhone is not a Levite. He has fled into the field. And the Levite was in the loins of Abraham. They are in the loins of Abraham. They are living on the earth. What happened to redemption camp? God is in jail. I'm waiting for corn and oil. You must properly allow the explanation of the correct. Hallelujah. You must always allow that. So, even the apostles, look at the apostles of Jesus. If you look at the apostles of Jesus, well, we'll see, I will open the windows of heaven. We'll see the apostles. Hallelujah. And so, look at the apostles of Jesus. As ignorant, do you know they didn't tithe? And they didn't collect tithe. Peter did not say, we want to collect tithe. He did not. They didn't preach it. So, we don't give constrained by the law or out of necessity. Like the children that you try to do. So even if you are willing or not, you have to give it. That's necessity. No, we don't give like that. We don't give like people are compelled. Well, our compelling is of the spirit. We give to meet the need of others. With compassion and cheerfulness of heart, a believer must always be ready to give. Any believer who cannot give, will receive. Are you listening to me? Never giving to the poor. Basically, I'm telling you, in your local church, people have needs. Look out, you must be on the lookout. When you receive it, just for you. I'm just saying that for you. It's not just for you. You have the mind. And that was what most remember, you don't go learning from Romans 3:4. These things that were written before were written for our learning. They were written for learning. Exactly. So you're trying to teach them how to care for those who labor, those who stay in the temple, those who teach. Another problem is put more to the hawks that treasure the corn. He's teaching giving. Giving to ministry gift. Giving to the poor. Giving to those who know that. So your local church, you must always, who can I give? Give it to my pastor? Have I given to myself? Have you ever bought a gift for yourself? Say, I'm just appreciating for the prayer, for the teaching. Give you give of a pastor at all. I'm not led of the spirit. Why are you led of the spirit to buy a church card? It's me led to buy a church card. It's me led to Jesus Christ. Spirit to eat. Eat. That's going to tell you to give. Common sense. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can learn from that. In the New Testament, we don't now throw the baby away with the bathwater. We now learn from what Moses was trying to teach them. That is, with all you are making, leave room for those who come over you. And leave room for the poor. It's for people. All of people. All of the love the brotherhood. All of the king. Hallelujah. Love the brotherhood. We give from our heart. Hallelujah. In Acts 11:29. The church sent relief. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. They determined to send according to his ability. That means the person that had 100,000, according to his ability, they could now gather it and send relief to men that they deemed of honor. Men that they deemed it. Is that clear? Okay. But sincerely do this. Now look at you. A believer of God did not. I should look at you again. That means you are self-centered. And it's more important to be a disciple. Because it's self-centered. Anyone who does not give cannot disciple well. You can't. Because discipleship is also from the art of selflessness. It's not the same way giving is. The same way ministry is. If you don't give, you can't pray. I can't trust you to pray. Because prayer for those who you are over in God, a function of selflessness. It's easy to pray for yourself, but when it's not about you, can you pray that prayer for 6 hours? Let me say, is this pray for yourself? I thank you. Thank you for what? For what? For when you are praying for yourself. I don't fall. Nobody wants to fall. I don't forget ministry. Men who are under persecution. You don't even give. Because giving, prayer, ministry, all flow from that very of selflessness. I listen to you this morning. So you yourself this week. Is that there? Reevaluate yourself this week. And do the thing. Be a giving Christian. Tell us when we were told to tithe a card. You had a tithe card with your name on it. That you mark your tithe every month. You mark. And you are doing it carefully. And you are doing it with all diligence. Then you are told that in the regional ministry, we don't need to. They threw away the baby with the bathroom. They stopped it totally. It showed that you are never even concerned about the gospel. You are never concerned about ministers of the gospel. You are ought not to be so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Scriptures never attributed our faith in the New Testament to lack of it. He didn't say, we will not be given. Paul taught it. Peter taught it. Jesus taught it. You must be a giver. The writer of Hebrews taught it. You must be. It says, count them double one, body of double one, those who labor, the person who was teaching. Because the Levites end up having more than the Israelite. Right? It says, count them of double, count them, give them double one, those who labor by you, those who labor by you. And you give a guest minister on radio. Let's say 150,000 there. You must at the same time immediately be giving your pastor 300,000. Why? He labels over you more than that person. I don't know if what once yeah. I've seen that happen many places. You can't do that here. Someone teaches you 52 songs a year. 52. And it's all now come. Now your pastor was and you are now rabbi. That's an act of the son of they start giving. Yes, that's you. Let me connect you. I know you. That is not correct. The anointing that has been around you before that is not correct. You don't know that you're you not see it. And you're good. You just kidding. I'm a giver. A giver. Chef work. You are not saying it. Okay? I'm a giver. I give to his work. I give to the poor. This week. This week. The word. Bless God for what you have.